takes over fake debates, authentic truth. Can't underestimate SB and Sean, breaking through the noise, serving real talk, the genuine choice. No pretense, no hidden schemes. Just sports, passion, fueling dreams. From the field to the court, every play that's made. Real takes over fake debates. Turn it up, hear the honest sound. Unfiltered sports all year round. Discussions pure, no masquerade. Real takes over fake debates. Turn it up.
And we are live. SB Talk Sports, Sean Webb, Real Takes Over Fake Debates. It is Friday, Sean. How are you doing today, brother?
Doing good, SB. Happy Friday to you. Happy Friday, everyone out there.
Is it? That was a good Friday. We back in sports. We got all around. Baseball ended. Not the way that me and you both wanted it in. We just passed the NFL trade deadline.
We've moved on.
We moved on. A lot of things that happened in the world recently that a lot of people are not moving on or upset about. But, you know, we don't talk about politics, stuff like that. But, you know, this is America, you know. So you just got to enjoy the ride. And sometimes, y'all just got to take your L's, man. You know, either way, whatever side you want. Because I ain't going to need them. But we ain't going to talk about political stuff. But I can tell you one thing. I want for neither one. But. This is sports. Let's not bring in politics here, Sean. Let's not do that. Because you know how they give. You say one thing or you win one side, it'll be over with. But when it comes to things, that being said, Shaq has a lot to say. So recently reports that the NBA ratings are declining and going down. Shaquille O'Neal has a theory on why this thing is going on. He said, I have a theory. It's the ratings down because we're looking at the same thing. Everybody is running the same plays. O'Neal said, at the damn top of the key dribble handoff. And I was talking to a coach. He said they want to shoot 53s. We want to make about 10 or 15 of them. And, you know, O'Neal played in an era, you know, where he was like more dominant in the paint. But I do want to attack this theory because I got multiple reasons why I think the NBA ratings is down. First of all, it's the beginning of the season. Everybody just getting acquainted. Nobody really like over thirsty for the season because the NBA really heat up after like All-Star break and next year. And then also you're competing with football right now. You're competing with the NFL. And you're also competing with college football. But to attack the point of the three-point shooting thing, because ain't no way, I want to say it one time, ain't no way no coach going to say we're trying to shoot 53s a game and we only trying to hit 10. We're only trying to hit 10 a game. That makes no logical sense to me, Sean. Like, that's a terrible percentage to try to shoot a three from. And I know Steph Curry get a lot of flack for it too because he did the one thing that when I was growing up, in the era I watched the early 2000s, they always said a jump shooting team couldn't win a championship because once you off, you know, you could be off. But the Warriors did do that. Now, Steph Curry get the hate for it and blame for it because obviously the Splash Brothers was the heavy three-point shooting team. They shot a lot of threes. But this was two of the greatest three-point shooters we ever seen of all time. But then they also had a Swiss Army knife of a player with Draymond Green who – has the ability to play point guard and center and guard the perimeter guy. So that it's a lot of other factors they don't bring up about the Golden State Warriors. They just bring about the shooting. And Steph Curry, with his ability to play off ball, killing the other team's point guard, tiring them out, that it's a lot of different things that come into play with it. Because you also, the main person I would blame, Sean, if you really want to talk about the play style changing, one is just like, you know, overseas European rule changes. But if you want to put a coach play style, well, Mike D'Antoni. In his play style, ISO and shoot threes, he'll bench you if you take a midi. things like that, or the analytics saying that the three-point shot is just a better shot. Like, the mid-range game is a good thing to do. You can also win a championship in different ways, but people just don't want to do that, and is the viewership is showing that the fans don't like it. But my main 3 points of it, Sean, is it's competing with football. It's early in the season. Nobody's going to be that invested because these games, like right now, the Cavs are undefeated, and people really comparing them, saying they are the top title contenders. Like, and I looked at their schedule. They didn't play. They haven't really played nobody. So out of 10 games they done played, two of them was like, okay, these was challenging games. So, no, that's my main point of it. What about you, Sean?
So I understand Shaq's point, SB. To be clear, I do think stylistically – that's a part of it. Mm-hmm. But I want to go back to something you said. So I don't think October is necessarily the best month to determine where the NBA ratings are, because October, from a sports calendar perspective, is the most flooded month when it relates to sports. Everything's going on. That's the one month where you know every single sport's got something going on, generally speaking. So October isn't necessarily the best month for ratings. I don't know if the spacing is bad for the television product. Mm. What I believe and where I think Shaq may be onto something is, okay, so for example, just to start this season, 10 teams starting the season are averaging 43-point attempts a game.
That's terrible.
10 teams. That's a third of the league. And the analytics are driving, to your point, SB, the idea that the more threes you get up, the more you score. That a three is better than a long two because of the analytics and the statistics that bear that out. The fact that a lot of teams are shooting a lot of threes, I think, does factor in. So I don't want to say the spacing is bad. The question is stylistically, is it bad for the television product? Because that's what dictates the ratings. I don't know that to be necessarily true this early in the season. Now, when we get into, to your point, SB, closer to All-Star, when we started to get into those dog days post, when the NFL season is really kind of winding down, and we're getting, and college football is winding down, and we're in that space where it's really, truly basketball season, not just NBA, but college as well. That, for me, I think will be the true litmus of where the ratings are. But I do understand Shaq's point in terms of stylistically. But again, I don't know if the style is necessarily bad for television, because at the end of the day, it's an entertainment product. The problem is that 20 years ago, teams scoring 78 points a game was not good for the television product.
Right.
It wasn't. It might have been, it was too much of a grinded out game. Teams, I mean, it was a very different game physically. Right. When score 78-75, you know, that was not great. So, again, how do you increase scoring? You shoot more threes, you get more spacing, you allow more freedom of movement. Those things are factored in. And these teams, I think, are largely living on that. I just don't know if it's necessarily relates directly to the television product. I think there are a lot of things that factor in. And non-sports related, we're also in an era where there's so much content out there that people don't have to watch games. They can turn on highlights, you know, on YouTube and on social media, things like that. So they don't necessarily have to sit and watch entire games. Now, you and I are fans. Diehard fans, we're going to watch games mostly because that's who we are. But it's a very different time now in terms of media and content. And there's just so much out there, SB, that I don't think that's being factored in enough as well. You know, so I think there's a lot of things. I don't think it's just teams just coming out shooting a bunch of threes. I don't think that's the total reason for what's going down.
Only, I think when it started becoming like a style of play problem is the All-Star game. Because then people started kind of like noticing, because people started being like, dissing away from it, like disgusted the way that how like the All-Star game is played. Because then I think they use like the 3-point just shooting all those threes is like the game not physical enough. So it's like maybe the guys are actually playing hard, but people don't look at it like that because all they're doing is just jacking up threes and just doing ISO, you know. So maybe, but we gotta wait and see. I think like we just talking about, All-Star break will be the true test. But like you said too, around this time you're competing with a lot of things that's going on right now, especially with content too. Because you're in the content creators, you got people who just react on content. You got a streamer named Kyle, he like the biggest streamer in the world. He doing like a subathon this month. So a lot of young viewers that probably will be watching NBA ain't watching NBA, they watching Kyle on stream. So it's like you said, it's like different venues. On to the next one though, Sean. Vincenity has just got his jersey retired with the Toronto Raptors, well deserved. But he also revealed who should the Raptors retire next. And Sean, the answer is the greatest Raptor of all time, Kyle Lowry. Do you agree or disagree?
In the illustrious words of Charlie Murphy's True Hollywood Stories, wrong. And I'm not saying Kyle Lowry shouldn't get his jersey retired. He just shouldn't be next.
Okay.
The next Raptor to have their jersey retired without question should be Chris Bosh.
That's going to be a little controversial on that one.
Why?
Because a lot of people be getting their jerseys just retired. But I think people are going to say what he did for the Raptors. A lot of people going to have, like, what did he do for the Raptors?
What did he do for the Raptors? Led them to a division title, five-time All-Star while he was there for his first seven years in the NBA, made All-NBA while he was there, All-Rookie first team while he was there. Mm-hmm. He's a Hall of Famer. Could have been first ballot, but got in on the second ballot, Hall of Fame. Half of his – people forget, he only played 13 years in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Seven of those years were in Toronto.
That's true.
So it's Chris Bosh. Like, I don't even know why this is even a discussion. It's Chris Bosh.
Do you think he's going to get, like, the flack for leaving and going to Miami with the big three thing? Because I think if he would have just left, like, he was, like, if Miami didn't become a big three thing and he just left, I don't think it would have been a conversation. But since, like, the big three, LeBron was, like, such a big thing with, like, LeBron leaving – you don't think they might do that to Kyle Lowry?
You mean to Chris Bosh?
I mean, Chris Bosh, sorry. Chris Bosh, yes.
No, because it's not really about that. It's about what did you do in the seasons and the multiple seasons that you were here. Mm. Remember, you know, Chris Bosh was drafted fourth overall in 2003 by Toronto to be, you know, really the second star, if you will, next to Vince Carter. Vince Carter asked out. He wanted out of there after a year. Mm-hmm. So really, Chris Bosh had to become kind of the franchise player by default when, you know, Vince Carter asked out of there. So I don't think it's a question of what Chris Bosh did. Chris Bosh kept the franchise afloat. They were still a playoff contender. While not a championship team, and obviously we know Kyle Lowry was a big part of them winning a championship in 2019, you know, plus the injuries. But the point is that, you know, Chris Bosh deserves that honor next. And again, if you ask me, based on leaving the franchise, who did it better, was it Vince or was it Chris Bosh? Chris Bosh was a free agent.
Yeah.
Toronto knew Chris Bosh was a free agent. He had the right to see was out on the market. He chose to go to Miami. He went to Miami. It was a signing trade, actually. A lot of people don't realize that he and LeBron were both signed and traded to Miami. Mm-hmm. So Toronto and Cleveland both got things back in those deals. But the point is that 7 years, five-time All-Star, division champ, All-Rookie team, that's jersey retirement worthy if that's the standard for Toronto. And again, not much different than Vince. I'm not taking away from what Vince did in terms of putting that franchise on the map and also the highlights and all that stuff. but you don't get your jersey retired because of highlights. You did get your jersey retired because of what you accomplished as an individual player with that franchise. And Chris Bosh accomplished a lot as an individual player with that franchise.
So, because I was looking it up right here, it was like the players with the do you think, because obviously Kyle Lowry is a lock. We ain't going to argue Kyle Lowry is a lock. Is DeMar DeRozan a lock?
I would think so, yeah.
So, DeRozan probably, you think DeRozan did more in the Raptors jersey than Chris Bosh? Or is it like close? Because if it's close, then you got to make a case for Chris Bosh to be on there then.
I mean, I wouldn't compare the two because, again, you know, very different situations. DeRozan, again, coming in, came in kind of when Bosh was on his way out. And so it was, you know, them kind of figuring, you know, some things out. I think the problem I have with the jersey retirement thing, SB, is there's no real standardization for what it looks like. Every franchise is different. Yep. OKC has Nick Collison's jersey retired. Nick Collison never sniffed an all-star game unless he got a ticket. So at the end of the day, you know, it's not really about that. It's just your meaning to the franchise. I'm just, that's not a slight to Nick Collison. I mean, he would even tell you he was not an all-star level player, you know.
But it's what he meant for the city and the franchise.
So it's very different. So I think, again, Vince was first, deserved to be first because of his time when he came to the franchise and helped putting the franchise on the map. But the next player, the next up, who is already retired, who's already in the Hall of Fame, who already has their jersey retired for another organization,
Miami,
should be Chris Bosh, without question.
With the Bosh situation, because only thing what begs the question about retiring Bosh, and it'd be like, did Bosh do enough to get retired? Because you can't question it too, because the same person we talking about with Vince, he even get his jersey retired for the Nets. And did you see Kenyon Martin's reaction to it? Like, wait, how, if he get a jersey, I know my jersey got to get retired then too. And then I don't know if they retired Jason Kidd yet, did they?
They did. Jason Kidd's okay, retired. Kidd.
But I mean, but to Kenyon Martin's point though, because Vince was only there for what, 4 years?
Yeah, roughly 4 or 5 years. Yeah.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years. You know, yeah. Kenyon Martin was on the second guy to the final, the team that made the finals twice.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no real criteria. I think you can look at different organizations and say, oh, this organization, this is generally the criteria. With a newer organization like Toronto, for example, Vince is the only one. So you would say, oh, Vince makes logical sense. Orlando didn't retire jerseys for a long time. They just retired Shaq's jersey last year.
At least he was the first person to get his jersey. That's what I appreciate.
Right. Shaq. And you would say, logically, if you were going to retire an Orlando Magic jersey first, it would be Shaquille O'Neal. Mm-hmm. Who'll be next? Whether it's Penny Hardaway or Tracy McGrady or whoever. Mm-hmm. Again, I think there's arguments for both. Both of them were number one, ironically. But, you know, so it's I think there's a lot of things there when you just look at the individual organizations. I'm just saying Toronto, once they retire Vince's jersey, that's the standard they're setting for their jersey retirement. Mm-hmm. The Nets have a different standard, I think, for retiring a jersey. I don't know if Kenyon Martin getting his jersey retired by the Nets. I don't see it, but again, that's their call. I'm saying I think they've said we're retiring Vince's jersey because this guy played here for a few years and he's a Hall of Famer.
And it looks good to have it in the Raptors. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And part of the reason why he's a Hall of Famer is because of what he did when he was here. And you would say Toronto and it was New Jersey at the time are the reasons why Vince, you know, is part a big part of why Vince is a Hall of Famer. The second part of his career is more as a kind of a role player. And things like that. But that first 11 or 12 years combined with those two is why he's really a Hall of Famer.
Shout out Vince Sanity. Who should get their jersey retired next in the Raptors? Should it be Chris Bosh? Let us know. Comment down below. We got to go to the football side of things, Sean. And make sure you guys watch. Make sure you guys like. Make sure you guys share. Make sure you guys subscribe. Christian McCaffrey is back. And I'm not surprised about it at all, because we were just talking before the show about how important games are becoming now. And, you know, the Buccaneers and, I should say, the 49ers probably need this win. So I'm not actually kind of shocked that Christian McCaffrey. Now, although he probably 100%, he probably like 85, 90, but they're like, hey, look, we need you, big dog. We need you. You need to go ahead, lace him up, figure it out. What's your reaction to Christian McCaffrey being expected to play?
Well, yeah, certainly great for the 49ers. When you just look at that division, SB, the NFC West is a very tight race right now. Mm-hmm. With Seattle, Arizona, the Rams are technically, you know, still right there in the conversation. So the Niners know if they can somehow manage to win 9 or 10 games, that could probably win the division. And Christian McCaffrey is going to be, you know, a big part of that. But also, when you just look at their offense, he is the alpha of their offense. And so getting him back is obviously a major boost. Don't know if he's going to be on a snap count on Sunday. I would think they would probably, you know, try to work him in slowly. They're not going to ask him to go out and, you know, carry the ball or, you know, 30 touches or anything on Sunday. And, you know, the Bucs tend to play the run really, really well. So, you know, but it certainly is it's an upgrade. It's an added boost. And I think certainly could, you know, give them a better chance to pull one out on the road on Sunday.
For me, if I had to put it on a scale, or not even scale, pick a side, and I want you to tell me too, who is this game more important to? I'll probably definitely say the 49ers, because of how close the division is. Because a two-three game win streak, they could be leading the division. Where under looking at like the Buccaneers with the Falcons 6-3, and the Falcons don't look like they losing anytime soon, or going like it's going to turn away, because the Falcons is going to be a playoff team this year. So I'm going to have to tip my scale to that. So that's another reason I'm like not surprised to see Christian McCaffrey back, because they need it. And then it's like this division, NFC West, is still so winnable, where I could just look in, especially losing Mike Evans and Chris Godwin at a point in time too, on the offense with Baker, and how good the Falcons offense and defense has been looking. Shout out, Kirk O'Chains too. Got to tip my hat to him. There's like, I can't see the Bucs doing anything to take over the Falcons. But in the NFC West, looking, I can see the 49ers turning around at like a snap like this and winning this division. Their division is just more winnable. So I'm looking at this game as a must win for the 49ers. Next point. It was a game that did happen, though, Sean. And when this game that did happen, Lamar Jackson versus Joe Burrow, Joe Shiesty, and the Ravens was there. I caught a little bit of the game late. I caught the fourth. I missed majority of the game. So I realized they was down by this much. So the Ravens was down and pulled the comeback of the century. Lamar Jackson just added another case to his MVP case, even though I know he don't want another MVP. I'm sorry, it's either going to be you or Josh Allen at this point. I'm not going to lie. But 25 for 33, 290 on the yards, four touchdowns. Joe Burrow, 34, 56, 428, four touchdowns. Them boys was going at it, too. What was your reaction to yesterday's game?
You know, the first half, you know, was not a pretty game. Cincinnati, I think, did a good job of controlling, you know, the time of possession in the first half in particular. Baltimore just couldn't seem to find a rhythm offensively. Mm-hmm. They were able to hit a big play to Flowers, their wide receiver, who's also their kick return specialist. And that would help them get back in the game. And, you know, listen, it really came down to there was some, I'll be honest with you, there was some very questionable officiating in the game as well. That officiating.
On what side? For the Ravens side or just bad all around?
It was just bad all around, but there was a couple. Because, again, like, for example, there was an interception in the end zone. by Baltimore, and it looked like his shin was down. He came down with the ball, his shin was down. And in a lot of instances, they would call that as a catch, but they, you know, overturned the interception. And then Cincinnati went on to score, and a couple plays later, you know, it was just real for me, very questionable officiating last night. Sometimes you could overcall a game. You've seen it, SB, where they just over officiate the game. Mm-hmm. But that said, you know, it was late in the third quarter, and that fourth quarter, Lamar and that offense got going, and you know, really were able to take advantage of Cincinnati's lackluster defense. Also, you know, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow, for the life of me, I don't know what it is, why teams decide to play Cincinnati this way with Ja'Marr Chase.
He was cooking.
Yeah, I mean, he had three touchdowns. He had over 200 yards receiving. And I don't know why teams don't have their corners travel with the receivers more. That like if you got a number one corner and Marlon Humphrey is the Ravens' number one corner, I'm not letting a rookie get on Ja'Marr Chase. I'm like, no, I'm gonna try because you know that's where they want to go.
And you know that's who getting the ball. You know who giving the ball.
And particularly when Kyle Hamilton got hurt, Kyle Hamilton got an ankle injury last night and went out of the game. Sir, I think that changed a little bit of the defensive game plan for Baltimore. But, you know, it really came down to, you know, just Lamar and that offense just, you know, finding a way late in the game against a divisional opponent. Go ahead.
Now, who got Ja'Marr Chase in our fantasy league? He said he put up 60.
I believe Brother Omari does.
Yeah. But that threw me off a little bit. He said he put up 60. Yeah, he did go off. He had some video game notes. But to your point, too, though, I was like, why y'all? First of all, don't get me wrong. I was just for the cap. Ja'Marr Chase, the only wide receiver over there, bro. If y'all don't double him, I'm playing the Bengals. And I know how, especially that him and Ja'Marr Chase is cool. Somebody else gonna have to beat us. We overplaying. Hey, Gesicki gonna have to give you 200, 260. It ain't gonna be Ja'Marr. So that's why I don't, especially how like the Bengals are right now. When they had Higgins in there, see, now it's kind of like, okay, you got two people on that side. Now it's harder to guard that. But right now, no, I'm not Ja'Marr Chase. Sorry, you. It's not gonna be your game today, bro. Every time we play the Bengals, no.
And I gotta say this real quick. You know, Cincinnati did not pay Ja'Marr Chase this offseason. Yesterday's price is not going to be today's price, and tomorrow's price is gonna be greater than today's price. So he is creeping up to that $40 million a year mark easily.
Oh no, Sean, just because y'all didn't want to sign me. Oh no! Oh, we getting that 40 because I hope they don't franchise tag because that'd be petty.
But they can't. Wait, he's not eligible because this is his fourth season. So he's got another year off his fifth year rookie option or fifth year rookie.
Oh, to go more year. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
they got to pay him 40.
40.
40.
Yeah, 40. I'm talking 5 years, $200 million. I want 165 guaranteed. 175 guaranteed.
And why do teams not learn from what we just seen from the Cowboys? They waited too late to play two players. They had to pay them more, and they having a trash year. You could have just paid Ja'Marr Chase what he wanted, and I guarantee you, for the price you were just for the signing for, was a deal for how he playing right now and how much you have to pay him next season.
Well, I mean, first of all, Mike Brown is cheap. That's well known. He's very cheap. I mean, they literally have a Pop Warner practice facility that they have to cross the street to get to. So, yeah, like, he's cheap. So that's why he's cheap. And, you know, but that said, you know, they're gonna pay him. They gotta pay him.
They gotta pay him.
They gotta pay him.
Hey, somebody gonna pay him. I'm gonna say, you know, somebody gonna make that call. I always get limit everybody wide receiver. Chargers, get a wide receiver, bro. Like, come on, man. It's wide receivers out there happy. You got D Hop coming back looking like the old D Hop. But speaking of the crazy claim, I ain't gonna say crazy because I don't want no smoke with this particular individual. James Johnson claims that he can take on John Jones just in a fight. Now, do I think do I think James Johnson would just get annihilated by John Jones? Probably not, because he got that background and he legit. But it's no way he's beating John Jones. It's no way. I can't see it. I don't see nobody beating John Jones. I don't. I think John Jones is going to go undefeated, or unless he try to, like, keep fighting when he's too past his prime. And he's knocking on that door. But what's your take on this?
So he is obviously a trained martial artist. Mm-hmm. Very good. Won championships, you know, coming up as a martial artist. And again, while I love UFC and I do watch UFC, you know, part of UFC isn't not just your ability to stand up, it's also your ability to get on the ground. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he would do getting on the ground. Like you could say, okay, I'm going to fight John Jones. Well, John Jones is as great, you know, on the ground as he is, you know, mm-hmm. standing up. So the reason why it would be a difficult assessment for me is because I don't know what James Johnson would do if the fight got on the ground. But standing up at 6'7", obviously super athletic, you know, a trained martial artist, he has a second degree black belt. I'm not counting him out at all.
That's why I said he won't get worked.
Right.
I think he put up a fight, but he ain't winning.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and again, one of the things about John Jones and why when John Jones at his prime was his height, his length, his athleticism. Now he's, you know, fighting as a heavyweight. So, you know, he's walking around a little bit heavier than he did in his prime. But James Johnson, I remember, is like 6'7", like two, and his NBA weight was like 230, 235. So he's not a small guy at all. He would have the size advantage over John Jones. And again, they're standing up, given his mixed martial arts and his martial arts background. I wouldn't count him out. It's if the fight gets to the ground, that's the part I don't know. I just know when John Jones as a grappler is as good as John Jones as standing up. So that's what I'm saying. Like, and again, this would be more of a Sturdy question. Shout out Sturdy, Ace Sturdy. But you know, I would not count James Johnson out at all.
Blue Ball said, what up, SB and Sean? Does this season put a stain on LeBron all-time standing? No, he 40, bro. It don't at all. He old. And who he got coming out the West? I think I picked Dallas. I gotta go back to our predictions again. Well, I think we didn't pick.
We just picked the team, the playoff teams, and the play-in teams.
I'm gonna still go Dallas. I think Dallas. Dallas is a safe pick for right now because Denver's still putting it together. OKC look nice, but they still kind of young. Did they make their next step? But I think Dallas is gonna give that Klay Thompson. I'm trying to tell y'all that adding that Klay Thompson is gonna be big for when the playoffs come. That's when Klay gonna show his value in the playoffs for me. What about you, Sean? What's your answer to both questions?
I don't. So, one, and when you're in year 22, there's nothing that can sustain your legacy. You're in year 22. Again, I have LeBron as one of the three greatest players of all time. There's nothing he's going to do to change that at this juncture. That said, to answer the question about the West, I think the West is – I'm not going to say the West is wide open. I think there are probably three or four teams that could conceivably come out of the West. And I'm hard-pressed to make a prediction right now because all those teams aren't healthy. OKC's not fully healthy. Mm-hmm. Certainly Denver's not healthy. Minnesota's, you know, still working some things out. Dallas, I think Dallas has a great chance to get out of the West back to back year. I want to see, like, and for me, I want like a 20 game sample size with those teams healthy to make a real prediction, but I won't make a prediction right now because, again, it's early in the season.
It's early.
And, you know, I thought Cleveland, and I use an example, I thought Cleveland was going to be really good this year, but I did not see Cleveland being the last undefeated team in the NBA to start the season. So,
I told you it's that skip. I'm gonna tell you the nine games they play.
No. I mean, listen, this is my only issue with the schedule, right? The team doesn't make the schedule. They got to just play who's in front of them. And there have been some nights where they're coming off a back to back that it looked like they weren't gonna win, and they found a way to pull it out. I'm not making any predictions about Cleveland. I'm just saying, I don't think anybody said, "Oh, they'll be the first or second seed in the East." Coming into the season.
No, Sean, hold on. Wait. I got to relive this moment because I ain't gonna lie. I just got a little humble real quick. I ain't gonna hold you. I was like, Ben Sean, they 9-0. Oh, no, I'm reacting right. I did it. I'm like, Ben Sean, they 9-0. They didn't even play nobody. They ain't play nobody. I go, look, they playing the Warriors right now. They up 40.
Right.
No, Sean, they up 40 at halftime right now.
Yes.
Jeez. Never mind. I'm mind my business. You know what I'm saying? Mama always told me, man, your own business. I'm gonna mind my business. Worry about something that ain't my business.
Yeah.
Maybe Cleveland might be that deal. Hey, look, to say I was just gonna go crazy, like, man, they ain't really playing nobody. To just look and see they have 40 right now. They're like, yeah. Watch who you talking about, big dog. Watch who you talking about. But also, since we're on the subject of John Jones, John Jones said he is open to fight Alex Pereira. For me, real quick on this one, I just think. I got John Jones winning. It's always hard to come to lightweight to heavyweight. You see, it took John Jones a minute before he actually went up there. And you see how big John Jones got now to be a heavyweight consistently. But for me, I got John Jones, but I would not ask Pereira chances because he got a strong that strike. Because if he strike you, I don't care who you is, you going down. But I think John Jones wouldn't even take that chance with the striker. If he fought Alex Pereira, he's just going to drag him around with his body weight, choke him out, probably end it quick in like the first or second round if I was to have him fight. Would it look good on paper? Yes, to say Alex Pereira and John Jones fight. Would they make a lot of money? Yes, but nah.
I mean, I want to see what he does next week against Stipe first before I even think about him fighting Alex Pereira. But certainly it would be an interesting fight, you know, again, with Pereira move up, with Jones move down, all of that stuff, I think, would be.
Jones ain't moving down. He's too big. He ain't moving down.
So, you know, and again, would Pereira be willing to move up? Would he be interested in moving up, you know, to fight him at the heavyweight? That would be the interesting thing. But that said, let's get past Stipe first. I think he's going to beat Stipe. Don't get it twisted. But let's skip past that fight first, and then let's see where, you know, what the next logical fight is for him. And if it's Pereira, I will be watching.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm tuning into that one. Next one. We talked about majority of the good trades on a trade deadline last time because then we was thinking about doing another video because we thought maybe something big was going to happen. Nothing really big really happened after that. Trade deadline recap. What's the one thing that stuck out to you or that happened during the trade deadline that was big for you? Because I only got one.
There were probably two things for me. First, Washington getting Marshawn Lattimore.
That was big.
When you just, you know, look at just their division, knowing you got to deal with, obviously, A.J. Brown and Slim Reaper, Devontae Smith and CeeDee Lamb and, you know, some of these other, I'll say Malik Nabers, even though I don't put him in that category just yet.
Ain't going to be that, though.
I mean, who's throwing the ball? That's the question, you know, because he can't throw it to himself. But that said, I thought that was a huge, huge move on their part. And then probably the other one that really I think was, and they made two moves actually, was Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Getting Mike Williams out of the Jets and getting, Preston Smith from Green Bay to, adding kind of a third edge rusher to go in that rotation with TJ Watt and with Alex Highsmith. So, those would be the two for me that I thought were super, super big moves. And I'll say kind of an under the radar move just because of last night. Don't know how much he has left in the tank, honestly, but I think going this move could be a rejuvenator. Tre'Davious White going from the Rams to the Ravens.
That was big.
Could be a really, really good move, you know, for them, depending on how much he has left in the tank, which, you know, that I think remains to be seen.
Oh, for me, the big one was I got two, but one of them just me being mad as a fan that the Chargers didn't get no wide receiver and try to get any help, whatever. I said, cool. But the Lions getting Za'Darius Smith for me, that was big because, same way, like you said, I don't know how much he got left in the tank either, too, but I feel like you're going into a good situation, a good team, a team that's hot right now, the Detroit Lions. And what you do, one of the things that you do best is all they need. They ain't asking Za'Darius Smith to do nothing but just come put pressure on the quarterback. Bring that pressure that back that we missing. And then when if Aiden Hutchinson does come back this year, which I doubt, I don't know, because he completely broke the bone in that bone in the leg, right? He completely snapped, right?
Yeah. So basically, the only chance he has to come back potentially is they make it to the Super Bowl. He could potentially come back to the Super Bowl.
I wouldn't even, and if they do make it to the Super Bowl, I wouldn't even do it. I think he's just set up this whole
year. Oh, listen, if they make the Super Bowl and he can run, he's playing.
It'll be on crucial downs.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're not asking him to come in and play, you know, 70 snaps, but definitely if it's kind of a TO when TO came back and played, you know, in the Eagles Super Bowl after breaking his leg, he clearly wasn't 100%. But he was still 9 for 122. So he was still dangerous. So that's what I mean. It's, you know, a guy like that, he's so dangerous. You find a way, if you're Detroit, if he's healthy, to get him out there and maybe, like you said, some crucial snaps.
Cottage want to know who do we think won an NFL trade deadline?
I can't tell you who won. I can tell you who lost.
Oh, who you think lost?
Oh, Dallas, easily.
Oh, 100. I know who won. I don't want to say it. I don't want to say who won. I know who won. The Chiefs, man. Get D-Hop for a steal, man. You just gave Mahomes another weapon. I ain't going to lie. I thought they was going to – boy, Sean, I was so happy when they said Marshawn Lattimore to the Commanders. I was just like, yeah, just – I'll see y'all – Y'all, SB, you ain't been watching football. Ain't no point. I see y'all with the cheese out the cheese. Ain't no point of watching the rest of the season. Ain't no point. It's been over with. It's been over. But, okay, so the best part of the show, the part I was waiting on. So me and Sean decided to do a retired NBA draft, and I found the spin the wheel. So we're going to do the retired NBA player draft for one, and then we're going to do the spin the wheel one for current players. You ready for it?
I'm ready. So the catch is with both of these drafts is if you take somebody, you cannot take anybody else in that particular draft that played for that same franchise.
Okay.
That's the catch.
Okay, I'm down with that. Let me see if I – okay. So I gotta get something to write it down on. Let me see. Do I got, like, the chat thing or the Google thing? No, I'll write it down on my phone. Okay. Come on. I'm ready. All right.
So you want the first pick in the retired draft, or you want the first pick in the current draft?
We doing five players, and then the
you're doing the starting five for both.
Okay. I'm going first. I'm going first in this. Okay.
In the retired draft.
Yes, let's do.
Okay. All right.
So just five players, no six man, right? Just a five.
No six man. But you're building a starting five. Remember, you're building a starting five.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
Oh, MJ.
All right, you took MJ first.
Yeah, being petty, I had to get that out the way. give me Mike ASAP. I need Mike ASAP.
You took Mike. I'm taking Magic.
Magic. So Bulls and Wizards are off my list. So I can't take anybody else. Dang. Sorry, D Rose. So I can't take nobody else. The Bulls or the Wizards no more. Power forward, give me Tim Duncan.
All right, Tim Duncan. Give me Larry Bird at small forward.
Okay. All right, now we got to lock in. So I got Tim. So no Spurs, no Bulls, no Wizards. Ooh. Point guard. Give me Jason Kidd.
Okay.
So that means no Nets, no Mavericks, and no Suns.
No Suns, no Knicks.
No Knicks. Oh, we. Okay, that's got to get a little shicey. I could have saved Kidd for later.
Give me Hakeem Olajuwon at center.
I tried to be sneaky and get Olajuwon later. Okay. See, okay, so I got point guard, I got Mike Kidd, Duncan. Who am I three? I need a three and a big. I need a three and a big. Ooh, wee, this tough. Man, if I pick, give me. Shaq didn't play for them. Give me Shaq. I think I can still get Shaq.
You sure? Shaq played for the Suns.
Oh, he did play for the Suns. I can't get Shaq. Fuck. Oh, man. Okay, see, this. See, now it's getting hard now. Because I can't pick right on the Knicks, the Suns, the Mavericks. They go Dirk go. And, okay, so who? I'm trying to look at it from, like, a team perspective, like, who I got left now. Can't do the Nets. Got me retired. Big man. Oh man, this is tough. This is tough. I got picks right play for the. I still got the Lakers on my list though.
Yes.
All right, give me Kareem. Kareem, I matched that. Give me Kareem. Kareem and Duncan. All
right. All right, so no Lakers, no Bucks.
No Lakers, no Bucks. Okay.
Power forward, give me Dirk.
Dirk, okay, no Mavericks. Okay. What's your thing? I need a small 4-3. I can't get Scotty. I'm trying to think. A good small four. Can't get Scotty. Can't get. See, the team part throwing me off.
I know.
That's what's throwing me off. I can't pick Julius. And I can't pick James Worthy because I picked the Lakers. Wait, Detroit. He played for the Suns. Damn, I was gonna go Grant Hill. Wee. I ain't gonna lie. I'm gonna just wait. What other teams Dominique Wilkins played for?
The Hawks, Clippers, Celtics, Spurs, Magic.
Man, I'll be petty. He ain't really a 3-2. Give me Reggie Miller at the three. That's okay. That's the best. I know I need shooting anyway. That's the best thing I could think of right now.
Okay. All
right, who you got?
And I'm gonna take D Wade at the two.
Wait. So who your team? Wait, D Wade played for Chicago, Cleveland. You got nobody in the Heat. I don't think you got nobody because you got Magic.
Nope. I got Magic, D Wade, Larry Bird, Dirk, and Hakeem Olajuwon. Mm-hmm. You have Jason Kidd, Michael Jordan, Reggie Miller, Tim Duncan, and Kareem.
Okay, I'm gonna make it three, four. We're gonna say who won this. But the rule was for everybody listening, for somebody come when y'all see our teams and be like, why you ain't pick this player? The rule is once you pick a player, you can't pick no other player from the franchise that he played for. That's why that's why I couldn't get Shaq. But now, Shell, we got another one. We got to do the spin the wheel franchise one. Let me wait. Where it go? Where? Oh, there it go right here. Okay. Spin the wheel. So do you want to like eliminate? Do you want to like eliminate? Because I can eliminate the team like if it get picked, or you want to just keep it on there?
We eliminate the team once that gets picked.
Okay. Bet. Let's do it. Okay, Sean, you are first. Current players only. Current players only.
Okay.
All right.
Building a starting five.
Starting five. Ooh. The Minnesota Timberwolves.
This is easy. Give me Ant at the two.
Ant-Man, that's lucky. Ant-Man. All right. So me, got Ant-Man. Ant-Man at the two. Oh. Why? And just give me okay. Got Atlanta. Got the Atlanta Hawks. Give me Trae Young at the one.
Trae Young, all right.
Trae Young at the one. All right, Sean, it's on you. Got the Los Angeles Clippers. Where you gonna go with this one? So as you say the name, you know what I'm gonna say. Is he gonna be available to play? That's the first thing I said. I know, right? Is he gonna be available to play?
Yeah, I mean it's Kawhi at the three.
Kawhi at the three. All right, y'all did me wrong on that first spin. Atlanta Hawks is crazy. Lock in, Will. Sean, come on, dog. Come on. I got the Wizards next. I got Atlanta and the Wizards back to back is crazy. My team could be trash. Give me Jordan Poole.
Where? At the two?
At the two, yeah. I lost already. My backcourt is terrible. All right, Sean. So the New York Knicks. How did you get out of good teams?
Give me Jalen Brunson at the one.
This is crazy. Now, if I get the Detroit Pistons next, I'm going to crash out. This is crazy. But the Houston Rockets. Give me should I put Sengun at the four or the center?
Well, technically he's a center, but
so give me Sengun at center.
Okay.
All right. So I just need a power forward, small forward. What you need?
I need a power forward in the center.
Power forward center. All right, try to zone you. Ha! About time. Detroit Pistons.
Let me get Jalen Duren at the center.
Jalen Duren at the center. So I need what? Two more? Salute in the chat. Let's go. I need a power forward, small forward now, right? Sean, that's what I need, right?
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, I'm already in a bad situation. My Chicago Bulls. Give me the rookie, Montrezl Bezelis. Give me a rookie at the three. We ain't playing no defense. We young man ball out here.
Bezelis, all right.
Bezelis, eliminate. All right, Sean, this should be with your last one, right?
Yes.
What you need?
Power forward.
Power forward. All right, come on. Memphis Grizzlies.
I mean, it's Triple J.
Triple J easily. Oh my God. It's crazy. And I need a power forward too, right?
Yes.
All right, come on. Daddy need a new pair of shoes. Miami Heat. Give me Bam Adebayo. Four. My team cooked besides with Bam. We got no perimeter defense at all. Shot selection is gonna be terrible. It's gonna be cooked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So you want to know the teams?
Yes, I will. Not really, but yeah.
Yeah. So your team is Trae Young, Jordan Poole, Bezelis, Bam Adebayo, and Sengun at center.
Okay.
My team is Jalen Brunson, Ant Man, Kawhi, Jaren Jackson Jr., and Jalen Duren at the center.
At the center. Oh, see, you know this is shaky. Our team is terrible. And the retired draft teams is?
The retired teams draft, your team is J-Kid, MJ, Reggie Miller, Tim Duncan, and Kareem. I have Magic, D-Wade, Larry Bird, Dirk, and Akeem Olajuwon at center.
So we probably got to do this again. I'm going to see if it's an NFL wheel. We might have to do this again, man. Do a quarterback, running back.
Yeah, NFL wheel, yeah. Yeah, whenever you're ready.
All right. Now, Sean, it is time for the best time of the show. Everybody's favorite time of the show.
SB and Sean NFL Picks of the Week.
Being shy, NFL Picks of the Week. We got a lot of action packed going on. You know, we had to reestablish the order around here, and SB had to go get that win. And we plan on doing it again this week. We got four key games, right, Sean? Four key games we will talk about.
Four key games, yes.
But let's go through the picks. Let's do it.
First game, early Sunday morning game. New York Giants at Carolina in Germany.
Sure. I wanted to say, I seen a funny, I guess it's not Twitter, more tweet, but I'm so used to call tweet. And it was just like, what did Germany do to get this game? And somebody comment under the, you know what they did. I was dying, bro. I was crying, laughing. But this is a game that kind of scares me a little bit too. Because even though the Panthers got them, this game might be 2-0. Like it probably be like a 40-yard fumble for a safety going on this game. I'm gonna take this. Sheesh. Can we just skip this game? Yeah, can we just skip this? I guess I'm gonna take the Giants. I'm gonna take the Giants.
You gonna take the Giants?
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if they lose.
You know what? I'm gonna take Carolina.
That's just for the. Hey, watch this game. Gonna be the deciding game when we see who wins next week or on Monday.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Panthers by two. Mm-hmm. I think Bryce Young. If you haven't watched Bryce Young since he's been back starting, he's played really solid football. Mm-hmm. He looks more comfortable, so I'm gonna take the Panthers by two.
He said, I ain't got nothing to lose now. Y'all already benched me, so I'm just going to play.
Next game, New England Patriots at the Chicago Bears.
This is the game that they should win easily, but I can see them losing. But I'm going to pick the Bears because I definitely don't trust the Patriots. Their offense is too wishy-washy. But if you can't have a great offensive game, if Eberflus don't have a great game coaching, managing, and especially on the offensive side of the ball. And I don't know what's going on between Caleb Williams and DJ Moore. I don't know if you've seen that play when he walked off the field.
Yes.
Play, even though he scrambled, you can't do that, bro. That's bad leadership. You a vet, bro. You can't do that. But I'm taking the Bears. But if Eberflus, if he do not do a good job this game, he should be fired after this game.
Pack your bags. I don't think there's a seat hotter coaching-wise than the Chicago Bears. Head coaching seat with Matt Eberflus. I think the Bears got to get back to running the football, doing more off of the run action. Mm-hmm. Again, you mentioned the issues with New England's offense. Drake May is starting. Drake May has played okay. But again, the Bears, just from a pure talent perspective on both sides, should win this game. But I think it's going to be a close one. I'm going to take the Bears by three.
And it shouldn't be close. How the talent look? And that's the problem with the Bears. This game like this should be close. It should have been an easy, bam, and get the dub and get out of there.
Yeah. Next game, Buffalo Bills at the Indianapolis Colts.
I'm gonna go with the Bills. Not too much disgust on this, but I think the Bills get it done in Indy.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Bills as well. I'm going with the Bills as well. Not a lot to dive into with this game. So I'm going to take the Bills by six on the road. Next game, Atlanta at New Orleans.
You gonna ride with your team? Because you
give me. Wait, you make your pick, I'll tell you where I am.
Oh, no, I'm taking the Falcons. This is an easy dub, but I want to see, you know, my rule. I don't go again. Let's see if that rule stay at all, Sean. You gonna give me a game this week? Come on, Sean. Break your rule. Break your rule, Sean. I just got to hear you say it. I didn't hear you say you breaking your rule because you know. And it's a wax. Multiple episodes. You know my rule. I don't pick against the Saints.
I just want to say that I do this. I feel like G Money getting shot by Nino at the end of New Jack City.
Hey.
I'm not taking the Saints. That's what I will say. I'm not taking the Saints.
Mm-hmm. 1 hour, 1 minute, 55 seconds. Okay, I'm not. No, I'm listening. Go ahead. You pick. I'm just listening.
Yeah, I said I'm not taking the Saints.
Okay. No, I was saying like numbers. I was just thinking out loud. It wasn't no concern or nothing. You know, I was just talking to myself. Well,
we can move on. We can move on.
I'm gonna wait to see you next week because only I'm gonna give you a cop out for this because you actually been riding with Atlanta. You've been high with Atlanta. You've been with them. But
yeah.
Oh, you lucky. Oh yeah. No, let's see what now it's crazy. It's another cop out because you ride with Jameis next week because you like so that'll give that's your cop out for I'm about to wait 2 weeks. Let me see who y'all play.
I'm not even looking. I'm not moving. Looking forward right now. I'm here right now. I'm here right now. Next game, Minnesota at Jacksonville. Trevor Lawrence unlikely to play, so Mac Jones will be the starting quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday.
Oh well, you'll be the Vikings. They ain't taking no chance on that.
Yeah, I'm taking Minnesota on the road as well. I just think they found a way to pull one out last week against on Sunday Night Football against a Colts team. But I'm gonna take Minnesota on the road by a touchdown.
They got Sleepy Joe. They still got Sleepy Joe at quarterback.
You mean Sam Darnold?
No, I'm thinking of Colts. What you said about the Colts last game? They still got Sleepy Joe? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Next game, Tennessee Titans at the LA Chargers. Will Levis back starting for the Tennessee Titans?
A gimme game. Let's go. Give me the Chargers. Both up, baby. You know, I'll pick against my team. I'm picking the Chargers.
Yeah, I'm taking the Chargers in this one as well. I think this is going to be a very ugly football game, but I'm going to take the Chargers by 10.
Hey, it'd be crazy if the Saints win this game, too. That'd be crazy if the Saints win the game. But yeah, Chargers, we ain't lose to no Titans. And we'll Mr. Mayonnaise back. Let's go. Perfect time.
Next game, Philadelphia Eagles at the Dallas Cowboys. Cooper Rush starting for the Cowboys.
Eagles, we can both pick Eagles and more. Did we disagree? Yeah, there's a lot of gimme games on here. I'm sorry. It's a lot of gimme games.
No, listen, these key games are going to be very – this is where it's going to get interesting. This is where it's going to get interesting. The key games are going to get very interesting. But it's Philly. It's the Eagles easily. They figured out their formula, run the football, hit the explosive plays to AJ and to Slim. They get Dallas Goedert back this week as well. So that'll be big for the Eagles. Their defense, Eagles defense has played really well these last few weeks as well. I think it's going to be a long day for the Cowboys. Not that anybody cares. Nah. But I'm going to take the Eagles by 10 on the road. Okay. Next game, New York Jets at the Arizona Cardinals.
Hey, I can see the Jets choking this game. I can see them losing this game. I'm going to Mr. Call of Duty. I'm not picking the Jets. I'm going Mr. Call of Duty. And it's at home. Then I get a little more confidence because they at home.
Yeah, I'm taking the Cardinals at home as well. I think a lot of people really probably haven't paid much attention to it, but Kyler Murray is actually playing some really good football this season.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think they will give that Jets offense just enough fits. So I'm going to take the Cardinals at home by 6.
Okay.
Last game before we get to our key games, key matchups, Monday Night Football, Miami Dolphins at the LA Rams.
This one was a little shaky for me because even though Tua back, I still haven't trusted Dolphins, and their offense hasn't looked as good even with him back yet, because I still think he's trying to fit the mold. And I believe Tyreek Hill might be out too. It's a possibility that he might miss the game. So I'm going to go Rams.
Yeah, Tyreek is nursing a wrist injury. I don't know if it'll affect whether or not he plays. But obviously, if you think about, you know, playing the receiver position, a wrist injury is not good for a receiver at all. I'm taking the Rams at home. Going to be an ugly game on Monday Night Football, I believe. But I'm going to take the Rams at home by 5.
Tyreek Hill happened. Well, it ain't Tyreek Hill's fault. I'm looking at his stats, too. Tyreek Hill having a terrible year. He only got one touchdown. Touchdown, only 400 yards. That's a bad year, bro. I know he mad.
Yeah, but hey, they said Logic could coach. So, you know, hey, Logic, figure it out.
you got to find a way to get Tyreek Hill the ball. I'm sorry. I don't care who
had
quarterback.
Yeah, you do offensive genius, Logic, figure it out. If y'all don't know who Logic is, it's the Dolphins head coach who was like Logic, the rapper. all right, to our key matchups.
How many games we disagree so far? I figure we're gonna disagree on a couple of these.
One.
I told you that game gonna be the deciding factor. There's gonna be that one game.
We'll see. These key matchups are gonna get interesting, but we got 4 key matchups. Mm-hmm. David Green, he does look like Logic. You know he does.
He do like Logic.
First key matchup, Denver Broncos at the Kansas City Chiefs. Denver coming off a tough loss in Baltimore last week. Chiefs coming off a win on Monday Night Football in overtime against the Buccaneers.
It's going to be a close game just because of the Chiefs, and a lot of their games have been close this year. But I can tell you this for sure. If the Chiefs go lose their first game of the season, it ain't going to be done to no Denver Broncos, especially not a division rival team. Chiefs going to get it done. I don't think offensively they'll be able to keep up enough, or if their defense can hold out long enough for them to, like, actually hold the lead or come back. So I'm going to go Chiefs. I want to see them lose, but I just don't see them losing. If they lose, it's not going to be to no team like the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I will say the Chiefs have kind of found their little bit more of their mojo, getting Travis Kelce unlocked on Monday Night Football. Obviously, we saw what D-Hop did on Monday Night Football, 2 touchdown catches. Kareem Hunt looks like he never left.
The couch.
I mean, hey, but when you're working out, you know, if you're working out, you know, when they call, you just, you know, you stay ready so you don't have to get ready. That said, Denver, you know, their defense took a massive hit last week. I think their defense will play a little bit better. But there's, again, some concerns about their offense. Can they stay balanced enough in this game? I don't see it. So I'm taking Chiefs at home by 6. But it's a division matchup. They know each other very well. I expect it to be a decent game, but I just think in the end, Chiefs stay undefeated and go on to get ready for their another key matchup, which we'll talk about next Friday. Next key matchup, San Francisco 49ers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Christian McCaffrey back for the 49ers.
Chris McCaffrey back is going to make a big difference. But I don't see them because his first game back might be limited snaps, so I don't see him being like too much active this game. Even though the Buccaneers pretty much been missing their 2 main receivers, Baker and the offense still kind of been like solid. I right now, especially at home, I got more confidence in the Buccaneers right now. So I'm actually gonna take the Buccaneers, even though Chris McCaffrey coming back. I'm gonna take the Buccaneers.
I'm gonna take the Niners in this one.
Bang 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 again.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna take the Niners in this one. Coming off bye week, I think they'll be fresh. Their defense has to play very disciplined against, you know, Baker. Baker's going to take his shots. He's going to take his chances down the field, even without Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, as you mentioned, SB. Mm-hmm. But I think the 49ers find a way to pull it out in Tampa, so I'm going to take the 49ers by 3 on the road. Next key matchup, Pittsburgh Steelers at the Washington Commanders.
The two teams that started off the season dull, and one of them is hotter than usual. This is a battle of can this Steeler defense put on a masterclass to stop this masterclass offense that Cliff Kingsbury is running. That's literally the deciding factor on this one. Because I can trust Russ to manage the game. That's one thing I say Russ can do. He's going to manage the game. And if it's in the arm reach, he can let the defense carry him through the door. But this is Ricky's first time playing against a team like Pittsburgh, too.
Well, he played against Baltimore a couple weeks ago, but I understand.
It's Steelers, though. I don't know on this. This one I'm really shaky on. I truly don't know. What way are you leaning on this one?
Only because they're at home. I'm taking the Commanders. Mm-hmm. I still have questions about the consistency of that Pittsburgh passing game, even with Russ back. I think Jaden Daniels. Again, and a lot of people talk about Jaden Daniels. He's kind of come back down to earth statistically over the last couple of weeks. But they're running the football really well with B-Rob and obviously Eckler, you know, comes in. And then Jeremy Nichols comes in as their, you know, third running back. They're really balanced offensively right now. And their defense, while not superb, they've actually played really well the last few weeks as well. So I'm going to take Washington at home.
Just to play devil's advocate, then I'll go Steelers there. I'll take the Steelers. But I'm truly like torn with this game because it could literally go either way. It can. This game going to be a lot closer than what people think it's going to be. But Sean, even looking at it, say coming into week 10, if I told you the Steelers were 6-2, and the Washington Commanders are 7-2. You would tell me stop talking about sports if I'm saying that at the beginning of the season.
Right. Yeah.
All right. What's next?
Last key matchup. Sunday Night Football. Detroit Lions.
I can't pick.
Nico Collins back. Nico Collins is back. Practicing. Should be ready to go Sunday night for the Texans.
I can't pick. This might be the only game I watch. I might like only watch this game. Well, I'm gonna watch the Chargers, but the Chargers will be game will be finishing up by then. But this the game of the week. This is the game. I don't know. And did Jay Smith making his debut that? I don't know, Sean. I can't pick. Who you thinking? Who you leaning towards? I can't pick.
This is a very tough one, SB, to be very honest with you. Obviously, Detroit is playing obviously the best football probably in the NFL. I know Kansas City's undefeated, but just top to bottom, Jared Goff has been hot.
Best football they've played in like the last 20 years.
I mean, but I like the matchup of that Texans defense against his offense.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to see what D'Amico Ryans throws at this Lions offense.
Yeah, this game.
This is going to be a very. I'll be honest, just for clarity, the Penguin series, the Penguin season finale is Sunday night during this game. I am not going to watch the Penguin. So, because I think it's going to be the best game of the day. In my opinion, I agree with USB. There's part of me that feels like Detroit might be right to be gotten.
Yeah, but that offense,
and if I have a question about the Texans, the interior of their offensive line has to play better. They have to play better. The interior of their offensive line has been a massive issue in pass protection in particular. CJ needs time. Getting Nico Collins back gives me a lot of belief that because, again, he's their best receiver, might be their best offensive player.
I'm trying to think. The only loss they got is the Vikings, the Jets. I'm trying to remember who the other team they lost to this season. Who was the other team that they lost to? I'm looking at schedules. Packers. They lost that close game to the Packers. There you go. Yeah.
In Green Bay. They're undefeated. Also, the Texans are undefeated at home. They lost a game at home. The Lions have not lost a game on the road. So something's got to give.
Something got to give.
I'm taking the Texans.
Taking the Texans. My MVP. I'm not even mad at it because I was like, going to go either way. Because once I'm torn and I know I can't pick, I usually just pick like the opposite just so we can have like some suspense. So I'm going to go Lions then. I'm going to go Lions. I ain't confident in that pick. I'm not going to lie. I'm not confident because that's going to be the game of the week right here.
I mean, I think this is definitely the game of the week. But I'm going to take the Texans because they're at home. They have not lost at home. I think that home crowd will be fired up. So I'm going to take the Texans at home by two.
Ooh.
And those are our picks of the week.
And they're the picks of the week. Sean. Episode. There you go. You're trying to run a hat. Episode 16. Who you picking? I think I know one you picking.
Oh, the real GOAT, Joe.
He ain't. Well, honestly, neither one of them finna be the GOAT if what finna happen after this season. And then you know how the extra game set up and his numbers and stats gonna be so ridiculous that it's gonna be crazy. My whole 15 gonna be the GOAT by the time you're tired. But I knew you was gonna go, Joe. Oh, Joe. I'm going to go. I'm gonna go Pal Gasol. So Pal Gasol some love, man.
So Pal some love. Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, sure. Pal some love. Pal was a good dude. Pal was a good dude. Yeah. 16. Yeah, that is the show. Thank you guys for listening to the show. For any platform that you listen to us from, we appreciate you guys. We're growing day by day. We will see you guys on Monday. Watch out for those football games, Sean. And then maybe if James Johnson try to fight John Jones, see how that go. I don't think it'd be in his favor. But
no, absolutely.
But it's been real. Takes no fake the base. SB Talk Sports, Sean. Well, we will see you guys on Monday, and we are out of here. Peace. Real tapes over face.